This is The Guardian.
Today, population control by stealth. The secret plan to stop Greenlandic women and girls from having babies.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
It was a very happy childhood. I remember when we were living in North Greenland, there were a lot of small houses in different colors. And at winter, there were a lot of snow, so we had warm clothes on. Children could go outside and play without parents being afraid of, oh, where are they now? So it was a very safe childhood we had.
Bulla Larsen is from Greenland. It's the world's largest island, located between the Arctic and Atlantic Oceans. Three quarters of it is permanently covered in ice and snow. July is the only month each year where the temperature reliably rises above freezing. It's also one of the most sparsely populated places in the world, with just 57,000 inhabitants nowadays.
We were a lot of children. We were eight.
Wow.
Four girls and four boys. I'm in the middle, number four.
Most of the people living in Greenland are Inuits, but for centuries it has been under the control of Denmark. Then, in 1953, it became part of the Kingdom of Denmark, and a large-scale plan to develop the island began.
The people of Greenland have, to some extent, been confined to the role of onlookers, watching a process of development planned by the Danes, controlled by the Danes, and paid for by the Danes.
But being full Danish citizens didn't mean that the Greenlanders had equal rights.
There was a birthplace criteria introduced in 1964, which gave a person born in Greenland less pay than a person born in Denmark for the same work in Greenland. So my dad was less paid in his work as a teacher in Greenland, working side by side with Danes.
Greenland's rapid development meant that the people there began to live longer. But at the same time, something strange began to happen. The number of babies being born began to drop dramatically. In 1966, families had around seven children. By 1974, it was down to just 2.3. For decades, no one talked about why, and when the truth finally emerged, it was truly shocking.
The Danish state is being sued by 143 women in Greenland who claim they were forcibly fitted with contraceptive intrauterine devices in the 1960s. They say that the authorities did not seek their consent or that of their parents for the program, which was allegedly aimed at limiting the Danish territory's population.
It's now believed that thousands of Inuit women and children were subject to forced contraception, with some saying that it left them permanently infertile.
It felt like an assault because it was my body, and they never asked me to do something like that to me.
From The Guardian, I'm Helen Pitt. Today in Focus, how Denmark tried to save money by fitting coils in thousands of Inuit girls without their consent.
We lived there because we could only go to seventh grade of school in the village. So we have to move to the city to continue our school. We were all Inuit.
When Bulla was 14, she was living with her brother in a dorm in the fishing town of Bamyut. Greenlandic children often had to move from their villages to bigger towns to continue their education.
We just only went to our parents in holidays, summer holiday and for Christmas. It was a very nice town, I think.
She was happy living with other children in the dorm, hanging out at weekends, playing sports. But one day, something happened that has haunted her ever since.
One day, the leader of the dorm told us girls to go down to the hospital. And she didn't tell us why. We went to the hospital. When we were at the hospital, we have to go to a room one by one. I remember when it was my turn. When I went to the room, they told me to take my pants off and lay me down on the doctor's bed. I had to put my legs up to some cold metal stirrups, and I was very afraid. And then the doctor took some cold metal tools and started to put the IUD up in me. It was very scary for me. I knew it was an IUD, but I didn't know that it was an IUD made for women who has been pregnant.
Right.
So it was a too big IUD.
An IUD, also known as the coil, is a form of long-lasting contraception inserted into the womb. Although it's now a safe and effective form of birth control, the one fitted inside Bulla without her consent was too big for her adolescent body.
And it was so painful that it felt like I had shattered glass in my abdomen.
Sounds awful.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry you went through that. What did the doctor tell you about what they were doing?
He just mumbled, "So you may not be pregnant." I was 14 and I was just a girl, a child. I was a child, and they never asked me if they could put the IUD up in me. And they never asked my parents the same question. So it was without our consent.
Bulla says she knew very little about sex or contraception, apart from a few hurried classes on the subject in school. And the IUD continued to be painful.
I remember I was crying when I was going to sleep. I couldn't just call my parents because at that time we hadn't cell phones or something like that. So I was feeling very lonely and I was crying.
Celine Klint, you are a journalist with the Danish national broadcaster, DR, and you've been looking into the Danish contraception policy in Greenland for quite a long time now. And for someone who has never been to Greenland, what kind of place is it? Can you paint us a bit of a picture of what it's like?
Well, Greenland is this huge country up north with a population of 56,000 people. So not that many compared to how huge the country is. And it's this beautiful snow-covered mountains and fishing is very big there. And it's very different from Denmark, where I come from.
Okay, so Greenland used to be a Danish colony. But can you take us back to the 1950s, the 60s? What was Denmark's relationship like to Greenland then?
In the 1953, Greenland just went from being a Danish colony to becoming a Danish county. So the Danish state had to improve the standards of living in Greenland in order for it to become a Danish county. So a lot of development was going on. Hospitals were being built, schools, roads, apartments. All this was done very fast to modernize the society, but also to make it more Danish. And it's actually called the Danization of Greenland, because not much thought was put into the Greenlandic culture and style of living. Most people in Greenland are Inuit, and they speak a different language than Danish and have their own culture, with big families with a lot of children living together. And the Danish state built a lot of apartments for small families, as we know them in the West. In the 1950s and 60s, Greenland had a very high birth rate, actually one of the highest in the world. And the Danish government was looking at this with quite a lot of concern, because they were supposed to improve the living standards, building schools and a kind of welfare state in Greenland. And that was becoming increasingly more and more expensive with all these children being born. So the attitude from the Danish government was that something had to be done.
So Denmark decided to take these drastic measures to cut the birth rate, and along with it, the costs of administering Greenland. And years later, we're hearing from Bulla Larsen about the shocking ordeal that she went through when she was only 14. And it seems incredible to me that this could happen to one woman, let alone be actual government policy. But you've spoken to many other women affected by this scandal. What did they tell you?
I've spoken to around 10 women who have experienced having an IUD inserted in a very young age and without them asking for it. A lot of these girls were in school. They're not sure that their parents were aware, and they weren't sexually active yet or sexually mature. And some of them describe it in many details, how they were sent to the doctors not really knowing what was supposed to happen and laying there on the examination couch. And then this very painful experience of having this huge IUD, a different IUD than we know today, having this inserted.
How did that affect them?
It's mostly the pain. Whenever they have period, they have to stay home from school. And also the fear of what happened and not talking to anyone else about it. Some tell that after they had this IUD, they got the feeling that now they were sexually mature. Like this was a stamp that now the authorities had said to them, you are ready to have sex now, even though they might not have been. Mm. One woman told this to me. She definitely felt that after having the IUD, she started having sex because now she was ready, even though she wasn't. She was 13.
How could this happen without girls and parents speaking up?
A lot of the women tell that they weren't really aware of what was going on and what an IUD even was. But because of the authority that Danish doctors had at the time, we have to remember that this is not many years after Greenland was a colony, so a Danish doctor is not a person you ask questions or say no to.
Right.
They didn't feel like they had the opportunity to do so. And the doctors didn't ask as well.
Mm-hmm. And do we know how many women this was done to?
We have a number for the first call campaign, you could call it, which started in 1966 and ended in 1970, where around half of all Greenlandic girls and women in the fertile age had inserted a coil. So this was 4,500 coils inserted in a population of 9,000 women in 5 years.
Goodness.
So this was like the first massive campaign that was put into work. But then we also found counts up until 1975. We found these tables where you can see meticulous counts in each town in Greenland of how many coils was inserted each year.
Right. So it definitely wasn't one or two rogue doctors. This was Danish state policy, and it was a deliberate attempt to reduce the birth rate.
Yes.
And do we know when, or even if, this policy has stopped?
It's hard to put an end date to the coil campaign or this policy. We found counts up until 1975. Mm-hmm. But several women have told their stories about having an IUD without consent later on, in the last part of the 70s and in the 80s. And actually, stories have also emerged from very recent years. From 2010, there's a story of a woman who didn't know how or why she couldn't have kids. And then mm-hmm. she went to the doctor and she found out that she had an IUD. And she had had this for 9 years, and it was inserted after an abortion.
Wow. So she had no idea that this was inside her?
She had no idea. We talked to several Danish doctors who had examples of this, women coming to them asking, I have this problem, I can't have kids. And then the doctor made an examination and found an IUD that they were absolutely not aware of.
And how could that have happened? Would the women have been sedated? Like, how could you not know that something like that was inside you?
When you have a surgical abortion, you might be sedated. We can see from the stories we hear from women that many have gotten an IUD in the same procedure.
Wow. And I know from talking to Bulla that the IUD caused her quite a lot of pain and injury. Why was it that these IUDs did hurt the girls so much?
We've talked to several gynecologists who confirmed that when you have this IUD that's too big for your uterus, it can cause infections in the uterus, and this can lead to infertility. For some of the women, it has had huge consequences with not being able to give birth to the children they wanted.
Bulla, what happened in the days and weeks after the procedure?
I could feel that I had something in my abdomen. It was like a strange thing who has been put up in me. It was hurtful, and I got infections. For many years, I was a bit scared to go to the hospitals, and my body could remember what happened to me without my consent, especially if it was Danish doctors. I think I was about 17 when I had a very severe infection, and they took it out. And then after that, they put a new one in me. They said, it is better for you to have a new one.
And was that your choice? Did you want to have one at that point so that you didn't get pregnant?
They insisted to give it to me.
The two forced procedures had a huge effect on the teenage Bulla and how she felt about herself and her body.
It made my self-worth lower. It was just like somebody took me and put something in me without my consent. It makes you feel with a lower value.
Bulla got married, and she and her then husband started trying for a baby. She'd had her coil removed by then.
Me and my then husband, we tried to get a baby several years. I went through so many things. I was getting a surgery to see if I had open fallopian tubes. They were closed, so they opened them, but nothing happened. So we also tried hormones, and then we decided to go to Denmark to try insemination.
Nothing worked.
It was the most hurtful experience. I wished very much to have a baby. And then one day, my younger sister got pregnant. And maybe 3 months later, my mom called me and told me that now our youngest sister also are now pregnant. And I have just to sink down to the floor and cry because I so wanted to be pregnant. It was very painful.
Yeah. I've been through it myself, infertility. It's very painful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really hard.
At last, I decided, why not just adopt a child? And 2.5 years later, we could travel to China to get a little girl. She is 27 now. She is a very happy and outgoing girl with a great personality.
Coming up, how the women from Greenland came together and demanded justice.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
In Norway, a woman's boyfriend forgets who she is overnight. In Detroit, a man is arrested, but he was never at the crime scene. In Spain, disturbing pictures of young girls have appeared, and no one knows who's behind them. Something strange is happening. A collision between people and artificial intelligence. Discover more in The Guardian's new series, Black Box. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. All episodes out now.
Celine, you and your colleague, Anna Pilliger-Peterson, made a podcast centred around what's now known as the COIL campaign.
I en kampagne, hvis lige ikke findes i Danmark. Spiralkampagnen.
Can you tell me about it?
It all started with my friend sending me a small article from the Greenlandic women's magazine, Anna Nut. And in this article, two women explained their stories. And one of them is Naja Lybert, who has become this front figure in the fight for justice for the women. I talked to these women, and it was kind of their questions that sparked the investigation. And then we talked to Danish historians and experts, and they didn't know anything about a COIL campaign.
Wow.
At the same time, we were talking to more and more women. So there was like this gap between the personal stories and then the historians' facts.
Mm.
And we then started looking into the Danish National Archives, where this old ministry that doesn't exist anymore, called the Ministry of Greenland Affairs. It's these old brown cases with old faxes, telegrams.
Mm.
And we found letters between the Danish Ministry of Greenlandic Affairs and the Ministry of Healthcare discussing we have to do something about the birth rate in Greenland. So they were, for example, discussing, can we put up condom machines? No, someone replied, because the rubber would perish in these Arctic temperatures. So someone else was suggesting the pill. Then another official would reply that Greenlandic women weren't able to take a pill every day. So we also found these quite racist comments on the difference between Greenlandic women and Danish women.
Right.
They're concerned about the Greenlandic style of living, where it's more nomadic in the summertime, and that also this lifestyle of living close together in a big family is not supporting of taking a pill every day.
Hmm.
So they basically didn't trust that the Greenlandic women were able to be in charge of their own fertility. And then finally, someone comes up with the IUD as the answer to these problems with the birth rate.
And tell me, what has the reaction been to the podcast?
First, when the podcast came out, it was quite silent in Denmark, but it was as if a bomb had exploded in Greenland. That's what several people has told us. Then there was a lot of pressure from the Greenlandic government. And finally, the Danish government and the Greenlandic government decided to make a historical investigation of what had happened from 1960 up until 1991, when healthcare in Greenland was taken home to Greenland, which is supposed to be published in 2025. At the same time, all these women came together in groups. They created a sisterhood for women who had had this involuntary IUD. And they supported each other. And some of the women from that group chose to sue the Danish state not long ago for violating human rights. Another consequence has been that women who were victims to this COIL campaign have been offered free therapy if they live in Greenland.
Bullet, tell me about hearing the podcast for the first time.
Yes, I have just moved to Denmark, and then I listened to the podcast. And I was just shocked because I found out that, oh, I was not alone. And I was angry, and I suddenly understood that it was because of the IUD I couldn't get pregnant.
What are your hopes for this investigation?
I don't have very much hope for that investigation. They won't say an apology or give us any compensation just because of that investigation. We have our lawyers who are helping us, and I believe in them.
How many Greenlandic women are suing the Danish state along with you?
We are about 143 women in the first group, and there are another group who is coming after us. We want an apology and then economic compensation. It is about 300,000 Danish kroners.
Which I think is about £34,300 in British currency.
Yeah.
And given everything that you've been through, and given that this assault that you suffered on your body so young stopped you from getting pregnant and having babies, is that compensation, is an apology enough?
No. Because it is whole lives of so many women who has been destroyed, women who never were given the ability to get pregnant and to get a family. So it is just a step so we can get closure from the government.
Celine, what has stuck with you the most from this investigation?
What has stuck with me the most is, of course, the women's stories. And also the trust that they showed to tell them and to put words into an experience that they might not have told anyone about before, because this is such an intimate area of the body and such an intimate experience. And two of the women also describes this as if the state had raped them. And this is both literally, but also an image on what has really happened with this COIL campaign, how the COIL has reached so deep into their bodies and into their lives and had such a big impact on their future.
Yeah, so they were using IUDs as a political tool to cut costs. And the fact that they were treating Greenlandic women as second-class citizens, not trusting them to take control of their own fertility, their own bodies, I find incredibly chilling. Does this chime with anything else that we know about how Denmark controlled Greenland?
Yes. For example, a case called the Experiment Kids, where Greenlandic kids were forced to go to Denmark and live with Danish families where they weren't allowed to speak Greenlandic. and they were supposed to become this Danish-speaking elite that could return to Greenland and build up the society. But many of the kids never went back to their families. There has been this story for many years that everything Denmark did in Greenland was with the best intentions.
Right.
So everything was to improve the Greenlandic society. But I think with the story of the COIL campaign, it's not possible to keep telling this story anymore. It's like a wake-up call because we see so black on white that it was about saving money for the Danish state. And they were controlling the whole population of Greenland in order to bring down their expenses there. I think a lot of Danes have had to rethink the relationship between Denmark and Greenland. And it's interesting to see what will happen in the future.
What do you want to say to the Danish government about what this policy has done to you and your life?
What right have they to do that? If it happens to Danish girls in their own country, it would be a very big drama. It never could happen. So I hope that they will acknowledge that they were wrong.
And how does all of this make you feel about the relationship between Denmark and Greenland?
The Danish people have almost all the time behaved like they were superior people. And we have a lot of educated people now who is working for Greenland, for our rights and so on. So I think that the Greenlanders are getting more self-esteem enough to set boundaries for Denmark. I'm very determined to get that apology because they should know how they hurted us.
Well, I really, really hope that you get justice. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
And thank you for talking with me.
That's all for today. I really recommend that you read the article from our Nordic correspondent, Miranda Bryant, which inspired today's episode about the whole scandal. And you can find that on theguardian.com. The Danish health minister has previously said, "It is a tragic matter and we must get to the bottom of what happened," which is why a team of researchers is currently conducting an independent and impartial investigation. The producer today was Courtney Youssef, and it was presented by me, Helen Pidd. The executive producer was Homa Khalili, and the sound designer was Solomon King. We'll be back on Monday.
This is The Guardian.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Brought to you by Lexus. Some things do more than their stated functions, because exceptional things inspire you to do exceptional things. To this select list, we add the all-new Lexus GX. With its exceptional capability, you'll see possibilities you never knew existed, sending you far outside your comfort zone. But as much as the GX challenges you, it also spoils you. Its intuitive technology and luxurious features mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Live up to it. The all-new Lexus GX.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.